You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to you, for the first time here on MMAfighting.com, the brand new UFC flyweight champion of the world, the assassin baby, Brandon Moreno, fresh off his submission win against Davison Figueiredo this past Saturday at UFC 263. Brandon, I'm sorry, champ, how are you, sir?
Man, thank you so much, Mr. Heck, to give me this space again. Man, I'm just, you know, living the dream. That's it. You know, right now I'm here in Tijuana, in the house of my parents, you know, but living the dream.
What was the reception like when you got home? Was there like a bunch of people waiting for you to celebrate this win?
I had a party in my gym here in Tijuana, you know. Everything was a secret. I was very surprised yesterday because, you know, I went to the gym and because my wife said, hey, I need to go pee. No, okay, it's fine. And then one of my coaches opened the door of the gym and, you know, everybody there. And, you know, friends, teammates. What a really nice and incredible moment in my life.
That win was amazing. What a night it was. I was like 2,500 miles away from the arena, and I still have goosebumps from it all, Brandon. It was so incredible to watch. You were there. You soaked it all in. For a guy who has been saying for a few years now that one day you would be a world champion, is that how you dreamt it would feel, or was it actually better?
Man, it's much better. You know, I remember when I finished the fight, going to the center of the octagon, and in my mind was just like, I did it, you know, and then all the emotions started to come to myself, you know, all the people around the arena, the crowd was crazy that night, man, it's even better.
Does it feel real right now? Like, does it feel real that you're the champion of the world right now? Has it sunk in?
Man, it's crazy. I mean, right now, I mean, today is Tuesday. I start to feel, you know, like it's real. But man, Sunday morning, Monday morning even, was like, man, this moment is surreal. I can't even believe it. You know, it's so special. All the people, all the, you know, all the media. Man, it's crazy.
When we spoke last month, you were exhausted from training. It had been a very long camp, but you were so confident in that conversation, even being as tired as you were. And all of fight week, that confidence was written all over your face. You were dressed in all these great suits. You had that swagger to you. What was that fight week like for you? Because talking with a lot of the fighters who competed on Saturday, they all saw it in you. They all knew, like, once they saw you in the hotel, like, this guy's going to win the title on Saturday.
Man, I was very confident and in my own skills, you know, in my abilities. Like you said, it was a really long camp, 6 months in total, you know, starting, you know, January of this year, I start to make game plan with my team, you know, making the drills, make every single movement, practice every single day, my skills in the next one, you know, in the rematch against Figueiredo. The last one was very hard, not just for me. I know was hard for both. I said that before, you know, was a short notice, just 3 weeks to prepare something good. But now I use all my 6 months to be really, really prepared for this rematch. And man, I mean, I don't know what you think, but I think the fight was very dominant.
Yeah, it was very dominant. We'll talk about the fight in a moment. How did you enjoy the press conference? I mean, you get the prime real estate right next to Nate Diaz. He's token up. He's offering you some. You turned it down. The place was electric. You looked like you were having the time of your life up there.
Man, actually, it was my first press conference on live, you know?
Yeah.
With all these people, a lot of Mexican people there in Phoenix. And I fought in Phoenix before. So I the people know me there in Phoenix. I definitely, Arizona has a special place in in my heart. Man, that press conference, actually, I won. I really believe I won the fight there, you know? I saw Davison Figueiredo, like, I don't know, different, with keeping his sunglasses, you know, trying to distract himself, push me. That was, I think, trying so hard to be the bad guy. Was it necessary? And me, I enjoy every single moment of that press conference. I meet my first time Nate Diaz. He's an amazing guy. He's a really nice person. You know, all the situation with Marvin Vettori and Israel Adesanya. I have a problem because I'm friend of everybody. So I meet Marvin Vettori before. He's a really nice guy too. And this time I meet Israel Adesanya, amazing guy. You know, so it's hard when both guys who fight each other are in the same place, because I mean I'm friend for everybody, so you know it's hard. But at the same time, you know, sharing time with the people in the press conference was nice.
Yeah, when he shoved you, I was like, how can you shove Brandon Moreno? Like, of all people, you shove this guy? I mean, you threatened to take my job in our last interview, and I still wouldn't shove you, Brandon. So you thought, like, when he shoved you, like, you got this thing in the bag. Like, you felt even more confident.
Man, I saw his face, you know, looks, I promise, looks different, you know, with other aura around him. For me, I was very confident, you know, smiling as always. I was believing a lot in my training camp. It was hard, man. That training camp was crazy. 6 months, you know, it was hard not just technically, not just physically. I mean, mentally, was tough. But man, I got the victory, and you know, that's it.
So he was the last one to step on the scale on Friday. Were you starting to get a little worried that, you know, man, who knows? Like, maybe this weight cut's even harder and maybe the fight won't happen.
Man, I was scared because, you know, obviously, I mean, I want the title. I want to fight. If the guy don't put his body in the scale, you know, maybe the fight can be canceled in that moment. So I was very scared. I was the second to go to the scale. Immediately, I went to take to recover my body and take a nap, because the night after the wake up is really hard. I can't sleep well. It's very hard. I'm so tired. So after the weigh-ins, I went to my room and take a nap. I wake up and I saw, you know, the social media to know what happened with him. And man, in one moment I was very scared, but then somebody in my team sent me a message from WhatsApp and said, hey, he's in the scale, he made weight, so that's it. Like, oof, thank you God. And that's it.
So on Friday morning, before the weigh-ins happened, Lauren Murphy tweeted out that there was a fighter meeting and said that if there was any pushing and shoving at the ceremonial weigh-ins, that the fighter would be pulled from the fight, possibly suspended. Is that true? Did you hear the same thing?
No, to be honest. I was just prepared for something, you know, in the last face-off. Because if that happened, that happened in the first one, something more can be happening in the next one. So I was prepared, you know. I put my feet in the correct position. But then the guy comes and very friendly and shook the fist, yes?
The fist bump.
Fist bump, and like, okay, this moment is weird, but I understand. All right, he understand. He tried so hard last time, so okay.
The fight to me was surprising because we can all break these things down in certain ways before they happen, but we never know like what the game plan actually is. And it was surprising to me because I thought you were going to be the guy who was a little more reserved, trying to extend it into the later rounds before you made your big surge, especially after seeing him on the scale. That did not happen here at all. You were on the attack from the first second of this fight. Was that always the plan? And like, how much confidence did that first round give you? Because that jab was on fire. You were doing whatever you wanted to do out there. You looked sensational in that first round.
Man, I told you before, the game plan was that. Be aggressive, you know, put pressure since the first round. And in that moment, I had cardio for 10 rounds. It was necessary, you know. But man, he feels, we saw in the, when we start to watch, you know, I mean, our old fight and his last fight, he looks uncomfortable when he need to go back in the fight, you know? And so that was the game plan, you know, attack the body because we knew he cut too much weight. So attack with a lot of body shots and try to win in the scrambles and the takedowns. And the most important thing, put a lot of pressure on him. And that said, I think the game plan was amazing, was perfect. And it's weird, you know, you never know, but you always make a game plan and something different happens in the middle of the fight. But in this fight, everything was exactly, you know. The key of the victory, I mean, I can talk with you like a lot of technical stuff, but man, the key of the victory for me was my mindset, you know. In that moment, I was ready to death if it was necessary to get that title, you know. I knew in the moment when I stepped in the octagon, I was the best. I'm the best, and that's it.
The second round was a little more competitive, but I thought it was a clear two rounds for you heading into the third. Did you know that one judge gave Figueiredo the second round? Not that it mattered, but one judge gave Davison the second round.
Man, interesting, you know. I don't know. To be honest, I'm trying to be very realistic I thought, you know, with the people. So, but I mean, to be really honest with you, I don't know how the judge gave Figueiredo the second round. You know, I understand he don't throw too much punches. I don't throw too much punches, but the control, you know, in the cage, in the floor was I had more time, you know, on top. So I don't know, man, it's crazy, you know, how the judges put the decision in the cards. But that's why I try so hard to finish the fight, to don't go to the judges, and I did it.
Then the third round happens and magic ensues, Brandon. The takedown, the quick transition to the back. He fights off the submission attempts for a few moments, but then it's locked in. He taps and you are the champion. And like you said, it seems like you took a little time to just soak it all in and realize what you had just done. I'm curious, have you gone back and watched the ending of the fight and kind of watched yourself become champion?
Man, in social media, we have a lot of highlights, you know, of that moment. Actually, the people are so impressed because they expect something like something explosive, like run around the octagon or jump to the cage. I don't know, man. But for me, it was like that moment was like a lot of peace in my soul, you know, a lot of calm. Like, man, I did it. I did it. I mean, 10 years like professional, 15 years in this sport, man. But right now, I can touch my work, and that was unbelievable in that moment.
Yeah, it seems like all the demons from the past, you were like watching them fly away in that moment. Like the 16th seed on Tough, the release, coming back, the draw with Askarov, like all those things that happened along the way, they just went away. They just like the ghosts of those moments just fluttered on. Was that what it was like? They just kind of like flailed away and you were just Brandon Moreno. Like, this is a new chapter. This is, now you're the world champion.
I mean, man, and I think that's why, you know, this moment is more special even, you know, because this life, man, what a life I have, what a roller coaster, what a journey, because, you know, for example, 2018 was so hard for me. A lot of crazy things happened before of that, you know, the Ultimate Fighter, I lost the first fight. And man, but I learned too much. At least I tried to learn too much about my mistakes. And right now I have, you know, all the belt for me, all the victories, in not just, you know, the fight. I mean, the life, winning in the life, and that is special.
Did you sleep with the belt on Saturday night?
Man, you know what? I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy who's bringing the belt for everywhere, you know? So, actually, I have the belt with me right now in Tijuana because my team want to watch the belt, man. You know, my people want to watch the belt. But after that, I leave the belt in the house, and that's it. I mean, I'm not that guy who sleeps with the belt.
You'd work so hard. I was curious.
No, man. No, I'm not Team Sylvia, or, you know.
Your history, your knowledge of the history of the sport is unbelievable. You have long discussed, we've had many conversations about what it would mean, not just to you, but to your country, becoming the first Mexican-born UFC champion. It happened. They have reacted in such a wonderful way. That mural was put up in, like, I don't know, 8 hours of you with the title. Like, that's so crazy, man. Like, what is that like for you to see?
Man, I know. Actually, I mean, the guy, I saw the picture in the Sunday morning, you know. I was to some restaurant with a lot of friends and start to, you know, to eat and drink just a little bit after the fight. But in Sunday morning, I saw the mural, the new mural in Tijuana. I don't have the opportunity yet to go to the mural, but man, it's amazing. I actually yesterday I met the artist, and he's an amazing person. And then I'm so proud of my work, and I'm so happy to watch how the people are happy for me, you know, for, you know, my country, my city is happy by my performance.
Did you see the video of your teammates at Entrim Gym going absolutely bananas? And then one of them got a tattoo of the moment on them. That's insane.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what can I say about that? You know, it's crazy. I mean, that is dedication. That is a guy who really believes in my work. Man, crazy. Actually, I meet the guy too yesterday. He was very happy. He was very, very happy. And man, I just want to say thank you to all these people who believe in me, you know. What can more I say? You know, I'm so happy for that.
You were the king of the event, in my opinion. And I know Israel was on there, and I know Nate was on there. You coming in and shushing the media while Dana White's up there and you're about to come in and Israel's giving you props and Nate Diaz is giving you props. You and Israel are eating pizza together. Like, how cool was the moments after the fight? Like, that next hour, 2 hours or so, how cool was that, just getting the admiration and the praise from your fellow fighters?
Man, I'm a huge fan of those guys, you know. I'm a huge fan of Israel, of Nate Diaz, you know, obviously of Marvin Vettori and Leon. And man, I'm a huge fan of this sport, you know. I actually, after the fight, I started to watch, like, a lot of fighters, you know. Justin Gaethje, I love Justin Gaethje. He's amazing, you know, the how he fights, you know, throwing everything, making a war always in every single fight he has. Francis Ngannou, and he's not a fighter, but I mean, Steve-O was there, you know, trying to get a picture with me. I mean, come on. I mean, definitely I want a picture with you, brother, you know. Man, it's so special.
You worked so hard for this, man. You trained all year for that fight, six-month camp that started almost immediately after the first fight. I assume at this point you want to enjoy this win, smell the rose a bit, finally get your family on that vacation that you wanted to take after the first fight. But are you hoping to try to get back in there in 2021? Do you want to get another fight in before the year is over?
Man, but I mean, it's hard to know, you know, because this hard, again, was so hard. This training camp was really hard. 6 months working so hard with a lot of stress, with a lot of pressure, you know, the media, the training camp, somebody talking with the media, he wanted to knock me out. you know, it's crazy. So to be, I'm tired right now. I'm trying to do all my compromise with the media. And after that, and definitely I have the plan of my vacation with my family. We will go to Puerto Vallarta. And man, I need to take off, you know, the competition of my mind right now, you know, to mental health. Last training camp, take 2 or 3 years of my life. It's fine, okay? It's fine. I have the bell. That's why I make that training camp. So, but after that, I don't know, man. Of course, I mean, see if something could happen in, I don't know, December. I love to fight in December. I don't know why, but I love to fight on December before Christmas. It can be a possibility. Or I don't know. Actually, UFC and I will start to make a really good plan to bring the UFC to Mexico again. I can't say nothing officially, but we are making something good. So we'll see. We'll see.
Are you hoping this year that happens?
No, I don't think so. You know, the pandemic.
Yeah.
Everything harder. But man, I don't know. Next year, maybe.
That's awesome. A few last things. Figueiredo obviously is hoping for the trilogy fight, and if he doesn't get it, he's open to moving up to 135. And you said your plan was go out there, finish him, so there would not be a third fight. Does that fight even interest you after that performance you just had?
Man, maybe. The thing is, the fight was so dominant, you know? So, the trilogy, at least in the athlete, I'm not interested, to be honest, you know, not immediately, maybe in the future. Cody Garbrandt is there. I mean, he lost his last fight against Rod Font, but he's a former champ, so he has the name, so can be an interesting fight. I want to see him competing in 125 first, you know, just to show he can make the weight. Askarov, I saw he has a fight against Alex Perez. That is an interesting fight. The winner of that fight can be the next one, you know? And, you know, Alexander Pantoja, he beat me before. He has that argument, so, you know, he's always a possibility. I don't think so immediately, but, man, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Really good names there. And, man, right now, I feel like a superhero, you know? I feel like an Iron Man. I don't know.
I know you have had this long road, but you've spent a lot of that road alongside your manager, Jason House, and he's had fighters fight for titles before in the UFC, but you are his first UFC champion. What does that mean to you to be that guy for him, to be that first champion for him?
Man, you needed to watch him. After the fight, he was so happy. All the team, you know, all the Iridium Sports team was so happy. I started to cry with me, you know. That moment was so special. Man, I met Jason House in 2019 when the year starts, and I'm start to work with him, and definitely he changed my life, you know. He changed my life and make everything better for me, for my family, for my wife, and that means a lot for me. I really appreciate that guy, you know, his family, his wife, Alyssa, she's incredible. All the team, Ed, Jacob, Lance, Jeremy, man, I love all these guys, and man, I really appreciate everything that they do for me.
Yes, of course, Ed, the legendary Ed Kapp, one of the best in the business. A pleasure to to work with for sure. And you know, you even got guys like GSP giving you kudos after the win. Everyone is just so happy for you, man. You're becoming this celebrity, and that leads me to the last thing I want to ask you about, because you are this world champion. And I don't know if you've seen this, but there has been since Saturday this big push on social media for Lego to sponsor you, and I think this is an absolute no-brainer. What would that mean to you for Lego, a company that you are so fond of, to join the Assassin Baby tribe here? Like, this would be, this is seriously the easiest thing to put together, in my opinion. Lego, Brandon Moreno, it's a match made in heaven.
Hey, Lego, I loved your brand. I really, really loved your brand. I spent too much money on you. If you want to send me something, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Oh, you know what? Funko Pop sent me a message, and they'll send me something. They say
they're gonna send you something.
Yeah, I was driving to Tijuana yesterday, and my notification in my phone, and my wife watched my cell phone and say, hey, you have a message from Funko. Like, nah, you're joking. No, it's real. And she started to read the message. Like, wow.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, I know.
Unreal. Brandon, congratulations again. That moment, those few minutes after you won the title in front of that crowd in Arizona, where you've had several fights in your career, I don't know about you. I mean, I'm sure it will be, but it's a moment I will never forget as somebody covering the sport. I'm sure that goes quadruple for you. But again, please don't take my job now that you have the clout of being a champion. But in all seriousness, enjoy the win. It means the world to have you back on here just a couple days later to talk all about it. So thank you so much, man. Congratulations again on the win. Well-deserved. It's great to see one of the good guys in the sport get his shine and get his due.
Mike, thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much for, you know, for the support of MMA fighting. I really appreciate it. And again, thanks for the space, bro.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.